the next person that we need to influence. And I have personally had interactions with this representative. It's Rhett Marquess, M-A-R-Q-U-E-S, out of Enterprise. 91 is his district. And he particularly is disliked in his district, went against his own constituents in his district, which includes the former Fort Rucker, when he basically allowed medical lobbyists to grease the skid, and you know, he went against his constituents to support mandates. And basically, you know, between he and Paul Lee, you know, they believe that an employer should be able to require you to do anything that they want, you know, that you have no rights, you know. And of course, that's completely opposite of the United States Constitution. But you know, they are the major roadblocks to continuing progress on getting the Alabama Health Freedom Act, you know, enshrined in law. But first, we got to get out of committee, folks. So to get it out of committee, it's going to take serious pressure on Paul Lee and other representatives like Rhett Marquess. So I would ask your, you know, your focus and attention on that. All right, so let's talk about health freedom a little bit as the second pillar within, you know, the current conservative cause, right? And so, you know, where we find ourselves going on 4 years into COVID is that it's very, very clear that the United States government, in cahoots with corporatists, especially big pharma, big medical, but also mainstream media, have manufactured crises based on planned and engineered democide. So democide being murder by government. And, you know, more and more information that comes out through the House hearings, FOIAs and depositions, you know, it's just breathtaking in its scope and depth. And you cannot read these documents, such as the Pfizer disclosures and their emergency use authorization, which they did not want exposed for 75 years. They tried to get that sealed under court order. And then we, you know, Aaron Seary, who is an absolute warrior for truth, you know, succeeded last year in getting a judge to break that seal and release those documents over a period of 8 or 9 months through the end of last year. And as we looked into those documents, it's just, it's abundantly clear. I mean, they murdered 1,233 people in the trials. Think about that, folks. In the trials, they murdered 1,233 people. And the benchmark for recall of an unsafe medicine by either the FDA, typically the FDA, over time, you know, let's talk about the 1976 flu shot, right? The flu vaccine that they had out. It only took 25 deaths nationwide for them to recall that and put that company out of business.
Wow.
Okay, and in the EUA documents that Pfizer released, you know, that's one of the key things that stood out was just the number of acknowledged deaths. So let's talk about the expectant mothers in that trial. Now, why any mom would ever subject herself and her unborn child to the unknown effects of especially experimental drug, especially given the acknowledgments from under legal deposition that have been made by the pharmaceutical industry, you know, again under deposition from, you know, from Siri, you know, back about 10 years ago, is just breathtaking when you look at it. It's you know, they have no morals, they have no ethics, they will kill anybody, they will poison anybody, just to see if their new concoction works, or even to see if it doesn't work, but how bad it hurts somebody, right? So
this is Dr. Mengele. Is Dr. Mengele and the Nazis. This is exactly what he did.
It is. It's worse than that. Okay, so let's talk about that for a second. And you know, Judd, right on point as always, like a good Marine point man. But you know, folks, it's you know, just in the last 2 to 3 weeks, we've had several pieces of analysis come out. One from Ed Dowd, you know, the former BlackRock manager, who, you know, really has taken has been invaluable, really, you know, along with Jessica Rose and some other folks, you know, in the health freedom movement, in putting numbers to the reality and just, you know, really kind of building out the meat on the bones of what has been done to us. And, you know, so folks, where we are right now is that we are blowing past 22% excess mortality in under 24s. So youth age 0 to young adults 24 years old, we are now surpassing 22% excess mortality. Actually, no, excuse me, it's 23.8% excess mortality for under 24s in the United States. And it's terrifying. And again, you know, you know, listeners have heard me mention this before, but, you know, we've had evidence of that right here locally. You know, we had just back in June, you know, right over on Molokai Lane, you know, south of town, south of Fairhope here, we had a young 22-year-old lady from Atlanta, Miss Ham, who went missing after an evening stroll down to the dock to watch the sunset. You know, something happened. She, you know, had a medical emergency, fell in the water and drowned. And then they found her body, you know, up by Fairhope Pier a couple hours later. And so, you know, the family says that she was epileptic and an advocate for, you know, for epilepsy, but yet there was no record of that in her social media profile. And so highly suspicious. And then, you know, other young people turning up dead with no explanation. And I also want to emphasize that, you know, that the lack of curiosity from government entities with people piling up, okay, just dead, you know, of every age group, every cohort, but especially working aged Americans that were force jabbed, okay? And understand that these numbers that are being calculated by, you know, people like Ed Dowd and, you know, Jessica Rose and others, you know, these data are coming straight from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. Okay, these are gold standard data. You know, this isn't made up or pulled out of thin air or off of some, you know, questionable website somewhere. Okay, these are reported statistics from the United States CDC. And how curious that our government, who we pay them to look out for us, okay, at least that's the trust relationship that should exist between taxpayers and citizens and their government, have a blatant lack of interest in researching or explaining or launching a study of why people are turning up dead in droves. And to Judd's point, I just want to emphasize that we are now surpassing, by some estimates, 14 million dead worldwide from adverse events related to the COVID vaccines. 14 million worldwide, which, to your point, it makes Mengele and Goebbels and Hitler look like rank amateurs. You know, it's breathtaking when,
well,
you think about
it. A point you've made often, because you have looked so carefully, so minutely, unsparingly into the whole COVID phenomenon and exposed it for what it is, it's the notion that COVID is some hideous disease is the first lie. Mm-hmm. It's a cold. It's right. A cold, and a minor cold. Mm-hmm. And more people have died from the flu-related stuff every year than from the COVID figures when they get netted down to what they actually really are. But yeah, it's just phenomenal, and you've done such a great job of exposing in detail what's been going on for 2 years, almost from the onset of the COVID thing.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, Judd. But it's not, you know, it's not about me or, you know, or what we do. This was a service to our community because we love Baldwin. We love, you know this wonderful place that we live, and you know we have to understand that these people, as we walk through this, you know, these pillars of progressive, radical liberal, radical left, Marxist change that are being foisted upon us, is that, you know, that they are doing everything they can to tear down society. They are ripping at the very fabric of what holds us together, what unifies us, and what you know, when you begin tearing at the fabric of the family, which has been corrosive from the left for decades, especially with, you know, pro-abortion, you know, abortion on demand, you know, is one of them. But then also, you know, the evisceration of parental rights for men, you know, it's just been, you know, a ongoing onslaught, especially through the courts, as the lawfare has intensified to where, you know, they have really ripped as hard as they can. But it went on steroids after Biden, you know, assumed office. And so, you know, it's important that we talk about these things. And I want to give you folks another source too, right? So Substack is one of the best places to find quality information, quality reporting that you'll never see reported in the mainstream. And these are, you know, quality professionals who have either been deplatformed publicly or had their professional licenses taken away, people like Dr. Peter McCullough, you know, Dr. Robert Malone, you know, Jessica Rose has always been independent for the most part, and so she's not as attacked as some of the others. But there's another gentleman out of Canada, Alberta, Canada, that I want to mention, and that is Dr. Makis, okay, M-A-K-I-S. And he produces a Substack called COVID Intel. And so if you have any questions about where some of these numbers are coming from, you know, Telegram is a good source for just kind of a raw feed to set that up so that, you know, that you get some of this good information. But then also Dr. Makis's, who is actually a radiologist and an oncologist specialist, so cancer specialist out of Alberta. And he grew up under communism and escaped it. And so he in particular is compelling because of, one, the ferocity at which Justin Trudeau and others have attacked him in Canada. It would take your breath away. If anything like that happened locally here in Baldwin, our heads would be spinning. But the amount of heat that this man has taken because of his stand and because of what he puts out there is unbelievable. Just this week, 2 days ago, Dr. Makis published his daily newsletter and talked about 34 teachers just in the United States, just in the last 3 months, that have come down with turbo cancer. And, you know, again, you know, going back to Fairhope East, okay, and while Baldwin County Board of Education under Eddie Tyler never officially mandated the vaccine, they did everything within their power to make sure a shot, multiple shots, went into the arms of teachers and staff members in every school in Baldwin. They partnered with USA Health and Infirmary to get these clinics, these vaccination clinics, into our schools to give these poison death shots to our beloved teachers and our educators, our staff members. And, you know, we're seeing the effects of that. We saw it right away with the loss of Josh Hall under highly questionable circumstances in the fall of 21, and there were others. But then, as recent as this past April, we lost Coach Jody Jones over at Fairhope East, who coached my own boys when they were in school over there. 51 years old, father of three, husband, much beloved, diagnosed stage 4 cancer in December 2022. He was dead by Easter. Okay, and so, you know, when we look at this, you know, I use that as our local example of what Dr. Makis published this week with the 34 teachers that, you know, that have come down with turbo cancers, several of them dead, most of them stage 4. You know, it's not looking good, folks. You know, and this is not a trend. I want to be clear. You know, I would love to be able to come on and just have a sunny conversation about, you know, other topics, you know, of importance in our community, but this is staring us right in the face, okay? We cannot ignore these surging numbers. You know, the cancers are going through the roof as of late June. Just breast cancers in under 45s, which historically has been an under-affected group, breast cancers have exploded to over 1,000% by late June over 2022 numbers.
And a 1,000% increase.
1,000 and actually 1,015% increase. And so we're on track by the end of 2023, according to cancer.org, just in that age group, that under 45 age group, which again historically has been a lower reporting group for breast cancers, that group alone is seeing, you know, 1,000% increase through, you know, the first 6 months of this year. And at that rate, it looks like it's going to exceed a couple of 1,000% increase by the end of this year.
Well, look, so, these pseudo vaccines are time release death shots.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they are. You're talking about 2 years, 2.5 years through the rest of 2023. Wait 5 years. Wait 5 years. There will be a steady onset of deaths from, quote, unrelated diseases, unrelated conditions. They're unrelated to the COVID shots because enough time will have gone by. This is the plan. This is the plan. It's working. Mm-hmm. It will work even more quickly and more deeply as more of these new bogus variants are introduced and more shots come out.
Yep.
Anybody who supports this stuff is insane or a demon.
Right, or they have a death wish. And, you know, I refuse to join the death cult. I hope many of you, you know, share that view and have been able to bring more people to the light, you know. But this is, we've got to understand that, you know, that as I talked about last time I was on with Dr. Liu, that, you know, U.S. policy, U.S. national security policy dating back to 1973, Henry Kissinger, Secretary of State, convening the National Security Council, including major heads of the cabinet to discuss the threat of overpopulation and the U.S.'s response to that. And then, so in National Security Memorandum 200, which came out known as the Kissinger Report in 1973, and then followed up by National Security Directive Memorandum signed out by President Ford in 1975, also known as National Security Directive 314. You know, it's very, very clear that the U.S. government has embarked upon a classified research and development effort over decades to develop these death shots in concert with, you know, with government agencies and with, you know, the corporatist and big pharma and big medical, and big pharma, big medical are only too happy to do this. And so, real quick, I want to give a plug here to a topic that we do need to visit in a follow-on show, but in my readings, I also came up, with a tidbit of information from about 70 years ago, and it's important that we, you know, that we do look back and that we understand and know our history. But, you know, I would encourage our readers to, you know, to go to Robert Malone's Substack and read his report on the 1955 bust, the failed effort to formalize Jonas Salk's polio vaccine in 1955. Most people alive today, including our elders, have no memory of this. They were very small children, if even born by then, and even then, you know, they were too young to even really understand or appreciate, you know, the issues. But Eli Lilly, who was a man, and he, you know, founded Eli Lilly Pharmaceutical Company, which is now a multi-billion-dollar pharmaceutical company, profited heavily during COVID. But Eli Lilly may very well have had a hand, along with the CIA, in the assassination of the Kennedys. And that is a very interesting read when you read about the power that they had back then, and when you look at how that power has only grown and the terrors that have been foisted upon, you know, innocent, unsuspecting citizens over the last 4 years, and they continue. You know, it is not a stretch to understand the tremendous power and reach that you know, pharmaceutical companies and big medical have on us. So, look, we have a few minutes here. I want to continue to press, but, you know, this other part of health freedom, and there are different kind of sub-pillars or areas within the health freedom movement, and we talked about how health freedom overlapped with, you know, the school choice movement and mask mandates and shot mandates, you know, in the school systems nationwide. But, you know, the other one that definitely falls under health freedom is the transhumanism movement, right? And so, you know, what I'm about to say, you know, is not controversial. It needs to be said, and you know, I'm going to say it, you know, but, you know, transhumanism includes, you know, it ignores decades of established peer-reviewed science confirming that gender dysphoria as the primary cause of gender confusion and sexual deviancy, you know, it lies at the very heart of the LGBTQ plus plus movement. And we, you know, we have to understand and respect the fact that, you know, that folks that suffer from this gender dysphoria, you know, they have a deep, deep need to be accepted, you know, but that does not compel us, you know, to have to accept their deviancies and the threat that they pose to our children and to our culture and society. They are the minority, you know, even by your most recent numbers, you know, they make up somewhere between 5% and 7% of the population, but it is the classic tail wagging the dog problem. Okay, and it's the one that nobody wants to talk about. You know, they'll say, well, you're transphobic. No, I'm not. I'm not transphobic. You know, I love everybody. You know, but, you know, the challenge is that you've got to call a spade a spade. Conservatives have got to stop fearing the people in the middle, everyone. You must turn off your fear of these people. Okay, they can't hurt you. Okay, stand up for your values, stand up for your family, stand up for your kids, and push back on this ideology. You know, we did this locally during Pride Month when Bay Breeze Cafe tried to host a drag queen story hour right here in beloved Fairhope. And, you know, through, you know, the power of the silent majority, you know, folks, you know, stood up and were counted. You know, they, you know, we had folks come from all over the state of Alabama and elsewhere, you know, into Fairhope and, you know, spending money in our businesses and you know, but not Bay Breeze Cafe. And, you know, and we absolutely took over this town, you know, for that day, you know, and I just want to, you know, say thank you to our listenership and to, you know, to folks, and understand that, you know, that the transhumanist movement is dangerous for a couple of reasons. And I would point you to, you know, it's about a 45-minute documentary on Jennifer Bilek. Okay, I've mentioned her name on air with y'all before, but you know she's actually a investigative journalist with really kind of a feminist background, but she has done outstanding work over the last decade of digging into how this LGBTQ plus plus movement just kind of was dropped fully formed into the culture, you know, to cause, you know, chaos and become a cause du jour, you know, for the left. And so, you know, she tells the story and it's very fact-based and evidence-based on where this movement grew out of, and we don't have time to go through it here on the air, but I would encourage you to look it up. Jennifer Bilek, B-I-L-E-K, and, you know, it is an invaluable 45 minutes to sit down and fully understand, because most people, they see it, and they're just shocked. You know, we didn't grow up with this. Lori, did you grow up with this?
No.
Judd, did you grow up with this?
Well, do you remember PETA? From 40 or 50 years ago?
Yes, yes.
That founder, the slogan for PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, is a boy, is a dog, is a turnip, is whatever. In other words, any kind of a being in existence that can duplicate itself, that's who we are. So it's come full circle.
Yep. So, you know, this next thing I'm going to say is something that I would just ask folks to think about, right? Is that if we know that these folks have a diagnosed medical condition, okay, and it's gender dysphoria, that is peer-reviewed, established science that has been there for decades. You know, what the left do, what the Marxists do, is they try and change the subject. They try and change language to make their, you know, their radical ideas become mainstream. And what I would encourage folks to do is to, you know, to really push back on this and understand that, you know, that, and again, this is controversial, but don't shy away from it, is that LGBTQ plus plus folks really have no business being anywhere near policy making decisions for children and families. Okay, they don't. They're you know, what they are trying to do, for instance, with minor, you know, minor attracted persons, MAPS, okay? These are previously known as pedophiles, okay? And they're trying to, you know, incorporate MAPS into the LGBTQT++ movement and have them accepted, you know, and these people are child molesters, okay? They're child rapists. And, you know, there are case after case after case nationwide where these people, you know, have been hiding in the woodwork, and now they're trying to go mainstream. You know, the other thing that I would encourage you, if you really doubt, you know, what it is that I say, go look at footage from the Pride Parade just 2 months ago in Seattle, Washington, and the one in New York City, and look at the footage, okay? It's not me saying this, okay? They speak louder with their own words. It's them riding, grown men, grown 40, 50-year-old men, riding bicycles naked in public in full view of women and children during the Seattle Gay Pride Parade, okay?
And chanting, "We're coming after your children."
That's right. And well, the complete chant is, "We're queer, we're here, we're coming for your children."
Okay.
Okay? That's the complete chant. And they did that in New York City. And so I want to be clear, folks. You know, this isn't fear-mongering, okay? This isn't us out on some lark or you know, going down a rabbit hole. You know, we must understand who these people are and the threat that they pose to the fabric of our society, okay? You know, it's one thing, you know, I would advocate for more funding, for resources, for proper psychological treatment of the illness, right? But we've got to recognize that the loonies are running the asylum right now, okay? And I don't mean that in a patronizing way to them. It's just that, you know, when you recognize that someone is mentally ill, you know, you don't put them in charge of anything. You know, they're unstable. And so why in the world do we tolerate this in our own culture, our own local community, our own society, where, you know, understanding that everyone has a need, a compulsion to be accepted, you know, we don't want this negative influence, you know, near our children. I mean, I do not want that, you know, near my kids, and I'm sure that other listeners would agree. Okay, so other things we'll talk about later, folks, are the physical incompetencies, and I mean money, you know, going back to the national debt, the great replacement, you know, which addresses the border and the impeachment effort against Mayorkas, the lawfare that's being conducted. I mean, just now, I just got a hit on my phone that Georgia grand jury and prosecutors are looking to indict three United, and then finally censorship. Okay, so, you know, the story goes on. We'll come back, Lori, and review some of these later, hopefully with Dr. Liu, and we'll keep building out this Venn diagram, folks. And you have to understand that we have to organize around these issues, and we have to begin pushing back. Lori?
You wanted to also mention or play a song at the end of the program.
Yeah.
So we can close the show, and then we will play this. What would you like to say about Oliver Anthony?
Oliver Anthony, the new folk hero, okay? What a champ. So Richmond, North of Richmond, is a song that has now garnered, I think it's north of 90 million views in the four weeks since it was released on August 8th. 90 million views, my dear people, okay? Mind you that Donald Trump garnered 250 million as of the count off the Republican debate when he did his interview at the same time with Tucker Carlson on X. He had somewhere near 250 million at that time, and I think that the views that interview has garnered is now well over 400 million. But, you know, this guy had a Farmville, Virginia, you know, near and dear to our heart, Richmond, north of Richmond. Here we go.
Thank you so much. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review. Filling in for Dr. Liu today, Deke Cox. This program is brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne on 98 and in Malbus at the state-of-the-art car wash Shell station. This program is also sponsored by an anonymous contributor. If you'd like to listen to this program later, perhaps you missed part of it or want to tell a friend, it will be posted at WABF1480.com. Here is Oliver Anthony.
I've been selling my soul working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away, drag back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. Oh, it is living in the new world with an whole soul. These rich men north of Richmond, Lord knows it all, just want to have total control. Want to know what you think, want to know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do. Cause your dollar ain't shit and it's taxed to no end. Cause the rich men, know the rich men. I wish politicians would look out for miners, and not just miners on an island somewhere. Lord, we got folks in the street, ain't got nothing to heat, and the whole beast milking welfare. God, if you're 5 foot three and you're 300 pounds, taxes ought not to pay for your bags of fudge rounds. Young men are putting themselves 6 feet in the ground, cause all this damn country does is keep on kicking them down. Lord, it's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. Oh, it is living in the new world with an whole soul. These rich men north of Richmond, Lord knows they all just want to have total control. Want to know what you think, want to know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do. Cause your dollar ain't shit and it's taxed to no end. Cause the rich men, north of Richmond. I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay.